tasted and seen all the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what hearts long to be.
If I could fit this in, bring it back to the chorus, Callie.
Holy, you're worthy of it all.
Something on that, I don't know, but I just feel like right after that Holy Spirit we should go into like worship for a second and wherever it goes from there. All right, thank you guys.
Thank you. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. The bells on bobtail ring, they make our spirits bright.
good morning and welcome to Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us and worship this morning. To all of our church family watching online, we invite you to join us in worship right where you are as we enter in God's presence. Amen. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come, ye to praise. We're giving God our thanks. Come on, church.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your life. There is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won. You've already won.
Come on!
There is no weapon that has ever left a mark on you. And there is no army with the power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won. So we've already won.
Let me say,
show me. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me what else he can't find. He's the God of the breakthrough, and everything is possible. It's possible. And there is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light. And in his kingdom, everything is bound to rise. Our God, our Redeemer, He is faithful to revive. Oh yeah, He will revive.
Somebody sing it out with me, come on.
Show me one thing He can't do. Show me a mountain He can't do. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me what else He can't find. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.
I want you to shout out in praise and in faith this morning that we serve a God who's already won. He's overcome the world, and we're declaring it over our lives this morning. Come on.
All of my fear, I will turn into peace. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Victory dance, I will dance out. I will shake and break and shake.
Come on.
All of my fear, I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Oh, victory dance, I will dance out. I will crush disappointment.
Lord, we thank you for your promises. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you fight the battle. You fight our battles, God. You go before us, God. We just give you honor. We thank you. Hallelujah. Church, at this moment, we're walking into our worship. And I just encourage you to lift your hands, shake off everything from the day, everything from the week. Let's enter into God's presence, one accord, lifting our hands and worshiping. God, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you invade this place. Fill this room, God. Fill this room with your glory. Hallelujah, Lord. We've come to see you and meet you. In Jesus' name we pray. All on the altar. Surrendered again. Freely I lay down my everything. This is my fire.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. You know, the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12 to present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You see, Jesus, we remember, especially at Christmas time, we remember God sending his Son, Jesus, to come to the earth for the sole purpose of dying in our place, of taking our suffering, taking our sin, taking our punishment, taking our judgment, going into hell on our behalf and paying the price that we would be redeemed, that we could be saved, that we could be children of God, that we could dwell in eternity in heaven with the Lord. And so the Bible says it is our reasonable service, that as he has sacrificed himself, that we would present ourselves as a living sacrifice, which means that we are alive only to God, to please him, to do what he wants. Can you say amen, church? Come on, lift your hands and say, I will be a living sacrifice for you, Lord. Let your fire fall upon me and let your fire consume me. Amen. That's what we want. Holy Spirit, have your way here today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch every life. I pray that every single person will be set ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit, that they will never be the same, but they will be touched by your fire, Lord. Consume us with the fire of your Holy Spirit. Come on, let's sing that final song. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to have his way here today. I encourage you, if you want the Lord to touch your life, you've got to reach out to him. You've got to lift up your hands and lift up your voice and just begin to sing with us. Just begin to worship with us. And as you do, you'll begin to experience the presence of the Lord, because the Bible says that God inhabits our praise. And when you begin to praise him, that's when you begin to feel God's presence. Praise is what brings you into the presence of God. So let's sing it out together, church. Come on, lift your voice and declare it together with us today in Jesus' name.
There is nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome. to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
You are welcome.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be.
Such a sweet anointing in this place. God has come to break chains today. There's shame in this room. You don't have to carry it anymore. You can shake that off. In this anointing, raise up your hands and give it over to God. Let go. You are free in Christ. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Hallelujah. We invite you in, Holy Spirit. We invite your presence in, Holy Spirit.
Experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Come on, say, let us become more aware. From you.
Somebody give him glory in this room. Come on.
Hallelujah. Yes. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you.
Magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Just lift your hands to heaven. Everybody, just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome to have your way
in my life.
Thank you, Lord, that your fire, let your fire fall upon me. Holy Spirit, thank you for touching me today.
Holy Spirit, thank you for touching me today.
Say, I surrender to you, Lord.
I surrender to you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, you know what? Don't be on a schedule. Don't feel like you want to hurry the service up. You know, it takes some time to get into the presence of God. And then why do you want to rush out? Why do you want to rush out? Because you know that the Bible says that as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit began to speak to them as they ministered to the Lord. And that's when you begin to hear God's voice, is when you take the time to minister to the Lord. And so even today, as you're ministering to the Lord, the Spirit of God is speaking to the hearts of men and women in this place today. And there are questions that you've had and doubts that you've had and concerns about the future that He is settling right now. For I hear the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit whispering hope and faith into the hearts of His children. And as that hope and faith takes root in your heart, says the Lord, a joy springs up that lets you know the victory is around the corner. So let that joy spring up in your heart today. Let that joy spring up in your heart today, for that's not a man-made encouragement. That's the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you that I'm speaking by the Spirit of God today, that what you are hearing in your heart, the hope that you have, you say, could it be so? Could God really do that in my life? He says, it is me declaring that to you, says the Lord. It is me speaking words of hope, words of faith, words of good things to come. There are good things to come, says the Lord. Say that. Say, there are good things to come. God has good things for me. God has surprises right around the corner. He is going to surprise me with His goodness. I see that. I see that today. Something the Holy Spirit is doing in this place is that He is reminding you of what He can do. And you know that anything is possible, is what we've been singing. So shake off those thoughts of what if. What if this disaster happens? And what if that disaster happens? And what if this doesn't come through? And what if that contract falls through? And begin to say anything is possible with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a word from the Lord going in this place. The Holy Spirit is whispering in the ears of His people. Don't dismiss it, family. Lord, it's your voice we want to hear. We open our spiritual ears. Because you see, what takes place when you begin to worship God is your thoughts get quieter and your feelings get subdued and your spiritual ears start to become in tune to a voice that you don't hear every day of the week because you're not listening, because everything else around you is too loud. But as you stand in this place, everything else is becoming quieter. And the voice of God is becoming more clear to you. Say, Father, make your voice clear. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things don't make sense, family. Sometimes you want to just move on. Don't move on. Stay in the presence of God. Yield your heart. Open your heart. Say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. He has the answers you need. He has wisdom beyond the natural wisdom. He can take you further in one day than you could do in a lifetime. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We open our ears to the Spirit of God in this place today. We open our ears to your Holy Spirit. It's not just words when we say, come and fill us. We mean it, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I know Abel doesn't want to leave the presence of God, right, Abel? You don't want to stop, right? I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. If you want to sit down, sit down. But we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. I pray that you would just burn off hurts of the past, that you would burn off regrets and disasters of the past and what ifs of the past. I pray, Father, that those would come to an end today. I just speak to people right now and I say the past is cut off. What you did, what they did, it's cut off, and today's a new beginning. Today's a new beginning. Today's a new beginning to walk in all that God has for you. It's being cut off for once and for all. So don't even turn back. Don't even think back. Don't even look back, says the Lord, for there's a future ahead of you. Hallelujah. 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 I like a bright future with the Lord leading me. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have something from the Lord? Do you?
I remember during worship breaking off protocol for God's purpose today. And we surrendered to that today. When we just expect the same protocol week after week, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve him because he's so precious. He's so wonderful, loving, and powerful. I also saw Pastor Steve laying down, weeping and crying over the people in this church, for the people in this city. He's been a faithful man of God. He has sacrificed a lot, but God has put him on his face in the secret place, where he's wept for the hearts of the people. It's special to be in the secret place. But what was more amazing is seeing him down on the ground crying. I saw a silver platter put there, and on there was a signet ring. And we know in the book of Esther, where Haman, the enemy, the signet ring was given from Haman because he made all those legal ruling authorities that were against God's plan. And everything that was given through the ruling authority of a ring. So I believe today that Pastor Steve, in his heart, crying out for this city, only the Lord will tell him what that means, but that's what I saw. I've only seen that one other time, and that person has grown to such authority over this nation. So I release that over you today, Pastor Steve, that the Lord will give you the wisdom as to what this means and what that means for turning this region into a glory zone for the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love to be in church. How about you? Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them you're so glad to see them. You may be seated. may be seated. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning. How good to see you. I like that. Thank you, Pam. I always know Pam's always in tune with the Holy Spirit. And you know, God, we don't have to go by protocols, right? We like certain patterns, and there are certain godly patterns, but don't get stuck. Amen. We received that word this morning. Praise God. Well, welcome to church. I know it's a busy season. I know that you've got all kinds of Christmas preparations going on. Don't let that keep you out of the house of God. But I'm preaching to the converted, right? Because you're here today. Don't let it keep you out of the house of God, family. Those that are watching online, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us today. People watch from all over the world and share this. Go ahead, if you're watching on Facebook Live, go ahead and share it that others can hear the Word of God today and be encouraged. Let us know where you're watching from. We're glad that you are joining us in the service today. And I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We don't want to embarrass you in any way, but we'd just like to give you a welcome package where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that our ushers can hand you a welcome package? Bless you. Come on, family. Let's act like we like having visitors. Anybody else, just let an usher know where you are. And we have a gift bag for you. I see Dolores taking pictures. Now I've got to suck my stomach in, right? We appreciate you taking pictures. Beautiful. Capture some of the things and the wonderful people in our church. But for those who are visiting, in that packet is a couple of things. One is a welcome brochure. And there's a card. It says guest. And if you wouldn't mind, just take a moment and fill your details out here. We'd love to just, Pastor Steve would love to just get in touch with you, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in, and he'll be able to give you a call. So thank you. Stay behind afterwards. We have our live nativity going on after church today. And let me tell you, you may not be excited, but the kids are super excited. There's going to be animals, and there's going to be the whole nativity out there this morning when you come out of church. It's going to be beautiful. So stick around for that. Visitors, come and greet Pastor Steve and I. We would appreciate that. And there's various ways to watch the service. If you're not in church at any time, you know, sometimes people are traveling over the season, you can watch on YouTube. You can watch, that's Ascend Church on YouTube. You can watch on Facebook Live. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us, and you can watch on our mobile app. And all of those messages are available after the time, too, so you don't have to watch them live. You can watch them later on, which I like to do. I like to feed on the Word of God in the week as well. So go ahead and do that. I just want to let you know what our four main purposes are of our church. I like to mention them every week because it's really important that we just, everything we do revolves around these four things. The first one is we want you to know God. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. We want you to discover your purpose. And lastly, we want you to make a difference with your life. Amen? Amen. Pastor Steve.
Praise God. You know, good morning, everybody. You know, when we come to church here, we come to meet with the Lord. We come to be in His presence. We come that He would speak to us, that He would minister, that He would touch us. That's why we start out with worship. Because worship is what opens that door that you walk through into the presence of God, right, where you sense His presence. Right. Now, that's what happened this morning. That's what happened. And it happens every Sunday, but I'm saying some Sundays, you know, different and more so than others. But I want you to know that you can sit in a service where the presence of God is all over. I mean, Jill's up here shaking because of the presence of God on her, and you cannot feel a thing if you don't participate, if you don't enter in, if you don't worship. If you will worship the Lord, let me tell you, my life changed so much because when I was When I was a teenager, I accepted the Lord at 16, but I used to be shy. And for me to come to church, even to sing in front with a group of people, I felt shy at first. And one night, I remember, Pastor Theo, we had this visiting band, singers, musicians that were visiting, and they were doing this special worship night. And they just, man, God was moving, and I just broke free that night. I started jumping and dancing and singing and just got free tonight. And you know what? I went to a whole nother, it was just a whole new experience with the presence of God. And I've never gone back from that. And so now when I'm at home, when I start out praying, I start out worship. You saw me lying on my face in my study, and I put on my Spotify favorite playlist of worship, and I just begin to worship the Lord. And as I worship Him, I begin to sense His presence. And that's what happened all those years ago. And I want to encourage you, it may be different for you, and you may be shy, but I promise you, it'll be life changing for you if you will get rid of that. Shake that off and begin to worship God from your heart. Worship Him. You'll be amazed what happened. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. I'm going to do now. Now, next Sunday, the 19th, we've taken a group of people. We're going to go have some fun, and we're going to go to the, is it called Top Golf? Excuse me. It's called the Drive Shack, and it's a driving range near the airport in West Palm, and it's got multi-levels, right? It's got a few levels. And you go and they've got the golf clubs, and you have fun hitting the balls, and you can eat and what have you. And so anyway, Nick came to me, and we've been talking about this, and we want to do it next Sunday. So if you'd like to be a part, if you'd like to join, I think we're going to open it to men and women. Then I'm going to ask you right after service to go talk to Nick. Nick's right at the back. Stand up for me, Nick. Everyone turn around and look at Nick right there. There he is. Look at Nick. He gets a little bit shy. He's 6'4". You can't miss him. Nick over there. Go after the service and say, Nick, I'm interested. I'd like to come. Men and women. And it's not expensive, Nick, right? What do you think it's going to cost for the... So $7 an hour. So that's not going to be that much. So if you're interested, you like to come, I'm going to go. Pastor Jill, you're coming with, right? We're going to have some fun. Next Sunday, it's going to be at 6 p.m. Go talk to Nick, and we want to see how many lanes we need to book. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Try not to get too excited. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's Word today? Say, I am ready. Father, we thank You for Your Word today, Lord. We thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank You that You give us each understanding, revelation of the Word of God, that You cause our faith to rise up today, that You remove all doubt and unbelief, Lord. Thank You. We give You the praise for everything said, everything done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise God. Good morning. It's so good to see you all this morning. I'm going to speak this morning. I just felt the Lord stirring me that I needed to encourage you in your faith. And I want to speak about call it in. Tell your neighbor, call it in. What do I mean by call it in? Well, this is what God does. In Romans chapter 4 in verse 17, the Bible says, that's what the Scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our example and father, for in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet. That's how God operates. He calls into being things that don't even exist. That's how God created the world. He said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. He said, let there be grass, let there be trees, let there be vegetation, let there be animals. And it was so. You read that in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke. He called it in. Amen. God called Abram the father of many nations. When Abram had no children, he said, I have made you. This is who you are. Abram was 99 years old. And his wife Sarah was 90 and she couldn't have children. She was unable to have children. But Abraham had God's word. He had God's promise. And God first told him when he was 75, God first gave him that promise and said, I've made you the father of many nations. But Abraham didn't call it in. For 24 years, he had the promise of God, but he never declared it. He never called it in. And when he was 99 years old, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And the name Abraham literally means the father of a multitude. God was helping Abraham to call it in what God had spoken over him. And the scripture says in Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, God appeared to him and he told him, I'm changing your name. It is no longer Abram, but Abraham, father of nations. For that is what you will be. I have declared it. And the New King James says, for I have made you the father of many nations. God said to him, I've made you the father of many nations when Abraham had no children and when he was unable to have children. But every time Abraham said his name, every time he said, hi, nice to meet you, I'm Abraham, he was saying, I'm the father of a multitude. I'm the father of many nations. He was calling in God's promise. And after 24 years of believing God's promise, once he started calling it in, it happened in just 3 months. The scripture says in Genesis 21 in verse 1, the Lord kept his word and he did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Now, if God changed Abraham's name when he was 99, we just read that, right? And Sarah gave birth to his son Isaac when Abraham was 100, then how long did it take for Sarah to get pregnant? This is not a trick question. If a woman, Abraham's 99, he starts saying, I'm the father of many nations. By the time he's 100, Sarah's given birth. A pregnancy is 9 months. It took around 3 months from the time he started saying, I'm the father of many nations. It took 3 months for Sarah to get pregnant. Yet for 24 years, he had the promise. You see, that's what happens a lot of times with us. We have the promises of God, but we never call them in. God wants you to do the same thing. He wants you to call in his promises. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it says, we have the same spirit of faith. Say, I've got the same spirit of faith. We got the same spirit of faith that's described in the scriptures when he says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then we speak in faith. You see, you can believe, but if you don't speak in faith, it's not going to become a reality in your life. We got the same spirit of faith that God has. We got the same spirit of faith that Abraham had. We too must call God's promises into being. It's not good enough to just hope something happens or just believe a dream will come to pass or just to think positive and the situation's going to turn around. You have to call it in. Your words give life to your faith. When you're sick, you got to call in healing. Father, I thank you that you're restoring health back to me. I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. That's not just quoting scripture. That's calling in health. If you're struggling in your finances, you need to call in provision. Call in abundance. Thank you, Lord, I'm blessed. Thank you, I'm prosperous. Father, I thank you. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Thank you, the windows of heaven are open above me. You're pouring blessing upon me. Thank you, Lord. You're a God who's more than enough. You just called in favor, promotion, opportunity, provision. Maybe you're single. Any single people out there? Don't be shy. Wave your hand. Wave your hand if you're single. Wave your hand. Now look around at the other single people. Listen, if you're single, it's fine. It's good to pray about it, believe. But you need to call in that spouse. Father, I thank you that you have someone awesome coming my way in the name of Jesus. You've got to call in divine connections. And you can be specific. I call in someone who's loving, kind, godly, good-looking, fun, well-off. Call them in. As long as you can back it up with Scripture, you can call it in. You said, well, Pastor Steve, I can't just say things and it's going to happen. It's actually already happening. You are today, in part, you are who you are and where you are, in part because of what you've been saying about yourself, because of what you've been calling in over your life. If you say, well, I'm never going to get out of debt, I tell you what, business is so tough, business is so slow, you just called in lack and struggle. I'm never going to meet the right person, Pastor Steve. I haven't had a date in years. You just called in loneliness. You've got to pay attention to what you're calling in. The Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, a man's stomach will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Your mouth produces fruit. From the produce of his lips, he will be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you know, you ever heard the term, you're going to eat your words? You ever heard anyone say that? Do you know the Bible says we are going to eat the fruit of our own words? Your words produce things in your life. In fact, the contemporary English version says you'll eat everything you say. The contemporary English version says you're going to eat everything you say. Say, I'm going to eat what I say. The New Living Translation says you're going to reap the consequences. Your words have consequences. See, whatever you're constantly talking about, you're inviting it into your life. Don't invite defeat. Don't invite lack. Don't invite sickness. If you're struggling with an addiction, don't say one more time, I'm never going to break this addiction. I've had it so long. I'm never going to be able to stop this. You need to start calling in freedom all through the day. Lord, I thank you. I'm free. I'm clean. I'm whole. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Thank you. You're the strength of my life, Lord. You can't call in defeat and have victory. You can't call in lack and have abundance. You can't call in sickness and have health. You've got to start calling in what you want and not what you have. Are you with me? Joel 3 verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. God says, say the opposite of the way you feel. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the depressed say, I am full of joy. It doesn't say, let the weak say, I'm weak. Because that's just calling in more weakness. You've got to call in strength. You've got to call in vitality. Call in passion. Don't go around, you know, saying, oh, I'm so tired. I never have any energy. I don't know what's wrong with me. All that's doing is making it worse. You're calling in more of what you don't want. You've got to turn it around. The Scripture says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You've got to declare, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You've got to declare it whether you feel it or not. The Passion Bible says it like this. be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus, stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in you and flowing through you. You got to declare, I'm strong in the Lord. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Say, I'm supernaturally infused with strength because of my union with Jesus. Say, I stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing through me. Say, I'm full of energy. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. You see, that everything I just said to you, that's what God says about you. Don't say what you feel. Say what God says about you. If God says, be strong in the Lord, power of His might, don't ever say, oh, I'm so weak. I can't do this. I can't do that. No, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. Don't ever go around, well, I tell you what, I look so old. I'm getting so wrinkled. I'm so out of shape. It's all downhill from here. Man, that's just calling in more oldness, more wrinkles, more aches, more pains. That's going to age you before your time. Every day you need to say, I'm young, I'm energetic, I'm sharp. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. Because that's what God says about you. In Psalm 103 verse 5, He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Say it. Say, my youth's renewed like the eagles. Say, God fills my life with good things. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and they will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and they will not faint. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Have you seen that face app they had? It was kind of popular for a time on social media, where it ages you. You can take your picture, put it on this app, and see what you're going to look like in 40 years' time. See yourself old. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking to age myself. I'm calling in youth. I'm calling in good looks. I'm calling in strength. I'm calling in good memory. I'm calling in plenty of energy. I'm calling in strong muscles in the name of Jesus. What are you calling in? Don't go around talking about how's this not going to work out and how bad the medical report is and how your children aren't making the right choices. It's one thing to tell people so they can agree with you in prayer, but you can't keep on talking about that problem and calling in that problem. A lot of people don't realize that they're actually calling in defeat. They're calling in more trouble. Often we cancel our prayers with our own words. Do you know that? We eat the fruit of our words. Instead of talking about how bad your kids are, start saying, Father, I thank you that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I thank you that my children will be mighty in the land in the name of my children will fulfill God's destiny in their life. My children make choices that honor God. My children have got great friends. They're kind. They're respectful. They're focused. Let me tell you, you can pray for victory all day long, but if you're calling in defeat, it's going to cancel out your prayers. Amen, somebody. Well, Pastor Steve, my co-workers, they don't like me. I don't have such a good personality. Nobody seems to want to be around me. Listen, man, zip that up. You've been made in the image of Almighty God. He calls you a masterpiece, man. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You've got something to offer that nobody else has. But every time you discount yourself, you're making yourself unattractive and unfriendly. You're calling in insecurity. Why don't you start saying over your life, I am well liked. People love to be around me. I've got a great personality. God's favor is on my life. Everywhere I go, I have the favor of God on me. I mean, I started declaring that over my life years ago. I started just saying it. I have the favor of God everywhere I go. And it started happening. People started to be attracted and want to help me and like me. And I've no doubt I called that in. See, when you speak out that out, not only does it allow it to come to pass, but that those words get down on the inside of you. You can't call in, you know, negative things about yourself and feel good about who you are. I remember hearing, you know, Joel Osteen when he first took over, when his dad passed away in 1999, and he took over the pastoring the church in Lakewood there in Houston, Texas, from his dad. And all of a sudden, you know, he was on TV because his dad had been on TV for years, and he kind of stepped into his dad's shoes, and he's on TV. And he said the first thought that came to his mind was, who's going to listen to me? Nobody's going to listen to me. He was very insecure, but he learned not to speak the negative. See, you may think something, but don't give life to it by saying it. Do you know, I have thoughts come to my mind all the time. I don't say them all out. You may think it, but don't give life to it by saying it. Don't call it in. Instead of verbalizing with the way he was feeling, Joel Osteen, he began to say, Father, I want to thank you that when people turn on the TV and they see me, they can't turn it off. I want to thank you that people like me. Thank you, Lord, people are drawn to me. Thank you that people are being helped by what I'm saying to them. He started saying it every day. He's been saying it for 20 years. And he says now, practically every time he goes out somewhere, someone will stop him and someone will say, Joel, you know, I don't really like TV ministers. I'm not really a religious person, but I was flipping through the channels, and when I turned you on, I couldn't turn it off. See, he called that in. You have to call in favor, call in influence, call in your destiny. With your words, you can either bless your future or you can curse your future. That's what the scripture says in James chapter 3. It says we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. This is something we all have to be aware of. It's something we all have to continually work at. It says we all fail in many areas, especially with our words. Yet, if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. Your words are connected to the rest of your life. It says horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. It says, and so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness, and it is the most dangerous part of the human body. It corrupts the entire body, and it is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. It says every wild animal on earth, including birds and creeping reptiles and creatures of the sea and land, they've all been tamed. They've all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to bless God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour words of blessing 1 minute and curses the next minute. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. You see, with your words, you can either bless your future or you can curse your future. We must call in what God says about us. Amen. That we are surrounded with the favor of God. That whatever we put our hand to, it will prosper and succeed. That we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's what we need to be calling in. Don't go around saying, oh, Pastor Steve, I'll never be able to live in that neighborhood. I'll never be able to have a house like that. No, call in a nice house. Father, thank you. You have a house already picked out for me. You said, because I delight myself in you, you'll give me the desires of my heart. So I thank you, my new house is on the way. You know, I started saying about 10, 15 years ago, one day I'm going to live on the water. One day I'm going to be on the water. I said it for years. I had no idea how that was going to be possible. But I just kept saying, one day, we're going to live on the water. Am I right? Am I lying about this? How many times did I say it? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Then one day, the housing market went nuts. We put our house on the market. We sold, got a great price. We thought we'd have to rent a little while till the housing market went down, but then the Lord guided us. We found a condo. We downsized right on the water in North Palm Beach. Every day I get up, I've got 50 feet of glass windows looking on the water. We called it in. Listen, this is not just wishful thinking. This is releasing your faith. In your business, you need to call in customers. You need to call in opportunities. Are you with me? James 4 verse 2 says you don't have because you don't ask. I think you can also say you don't have because you didn't call it in. Are there things that you're not receiving because you're not calling for it? I'm not saying, you know, get weird and crazy and I'm going to call in 10 houses and 5 wives and 3 Maseratis and 5 Ferraris and 3 Rolls Royces. No, 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 no. I'm talking about what you need to accomplish, the dream God put in your heart. The Bible says when you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you your heart's desires. And you should have a dream for your life that is bigger than what you can do on your own. Because if you can do it on your own without calling anything in, then your dream's not big enough. You need a dream that's so big that I don't know how I can accomplish this. I'm going to call it in, and I'm going to trust God to do what I can't do by my own self. Maybe you need to call in that scholarship, that school you want to attend. Call in that promotion that you've worked for. Call in that business you've been dreaming about. Call in that orphanage that you want to build. We called this building you're sitting in, we called it in the name of Jesus. Remember what I said when we were over on Center Street? And I said, we're going to get a better building, and it's going to be in a better location, and it's going to have half the mortgage payment. Those words came out of my mouth the first time, and it came right out of my heart, out of my spirit. And I thought to my mind said, oh, how is that going to happen? My mind said, what are you talking about? And here we are, better building, look, Indian town, better location, half the mortgage. Amen. Let me tell you, sometimes God will bring things across your path that are just far beyond anything you've imagined. He can do abundantly more than what you can ask, than what you can even think, than what you can dream. Amen. The key is don't cancel out the greatness of God's favor by having a limited vision and negative words. Well, Pastor Steve, you know, I don't see how that can happen. We don't have the finances to do that. I don't know the right people. I don't have the right training. I don't have the right connection. You may not, but God does. You do your part and call it in. Father, I want to thank you. You're taking me where I could never go on my own. I want to thank you, Lord, you're opening doors that nobody can shut. I want to thank you, Lord, good breaks are chasing me down. The right people are headed my way. Amen. Amen. See, what you need may be big, but thank God. How many of you know we serve a big God? He wouldn't have put that dream in your heart if He couldn't bring it to pass. Amen. Maybe He's just waiting for you to call it in, to use your words, to release your faith. When David faced Goliath, I love that story. Because in the natural, David didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance. Are you kidding me? He was a teenager. He was 17 years old. He was small in stature. He had no formal military training. He was a shepherd. He'd been out there with the sheep. No military experience. All he knew how to do was take care of sheep. Goliath, on the other hand, was a Philistine champion. He was their most skilled warrior. He was almost twice David's size. He was 10 feet tall. His suit of armor weighed 125 pounds. The arrowhead on his spear weighed 15 pounds. David had no armor. All David has was a slingshot and faith in God and the favor of God. But here's the key. Listen to me. Having faith and having favor is not enough. You have to activate it. You have to call it in. Because when David heard Goliath taunting and mocking the Israelites, something rose up in David, and he said, man, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Right there, David, God put the dream in David's heart to defeat Goliath. And he went and he told King Saul, I'll fight him. You would think King Saul would be excited. He finally had someone who was going to step up and answer the challenge of Goliath. But you know what Saul said? King Saul said to David in 1 Samuel chapter 17? This is what he said to him. David comes and says, I'll fight him. King Saul says, don't be ridiculous. There is no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. It was hard enough for David to get his courage up, but now the people that should have believed in him did just the opposite. Do you know, sometimes the reason that people are not for you and the reason that people don't encourage you is because God didn't put the dream in their heart. God put the dream in your heart. They can't hear what you hear. They don't feel what you feel. And they don't see what you see. Now, they may love you. They think they're doing you a favor. They think they're trying to protect you. Are you with me? But when God has spoken something to you, there is a faith, there is an anointing of favor, there is an empowerment that will cause it to come to pass. And David called it in. David looked Goliath right in the eyes. In verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17, listen what David said. Listen what David called in. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly will know the Lord doesn't save with sword and with shield, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You talk about calling something in, man. David was calling in victory, calling in favor. He reached down and he picked up a smooth stone and he put it in his sling and he flung that stone and he hit Goliath right between the eyes, knocked him unconscious. Goliath went down. David ran over, took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. Love it, man. I love the Bible stories. It's better than any Netflix. It's better than any HBO. Let me tell you right now, when you face challenges, it's so important what you are saying. Because David could have looked at Goliath and he could have said, man, King Saul was right. What was I thinking? I could never defeat this guy. I'm sure he must have had those thoughts come to his mind. But he understood what I'm saying to you today, that what he spoke out his mouth is what he was calling in. He knew if he spoke the negative, he was calling in defeat. He was calling in limitations, calling in weakness. That's why David stayed on the offensive. He said, I will defeat you. The Lord will deliver you in my hand. When you face an illness, you need to declare, I will defeat this cancer. I will live and not die. You know who said that? David said that in Psalm 118. He said, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. See, you've got to call in that healing. It doesn't say, let the weak think I'm strong. Well, I believe I'm healed. That's good. But believing alone is not enough. You've got to declare it. I believe I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. When sickness tries to come at me, I don't say, oh, well, I'm sick. I just think, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I refuse to accept sickness. Thank you, Lord. You took my sicknesses. You took my infirmities. The Lord, you restored. I just say that. Doesn't matter how I feel. I keep saying that. Maybe you're in a situation like David. Maybe all the odds seem to be against you. You're facing a giant. It's easy to talk about how bad it is. But let me tell you, more than ever, you need to be calling in victory, calling in breakthroughs, calling in suddenlies, calling in, you know, Father, you said when lightness overtakes the righteous, light will come bursting in. I know, Lord, one touch of your favor can suddenly turn this around. So I call my business blessed. I call myself free from this addiction. I call my children serving God. I call in abundance. I call in healing. I call in breakthroughs. I call in strength. I call in peace. I call in joy. I call in wisdom. I call in direction. I call in favor. Amen. Amen. Don't complain about not having it. Start calling it in. Declare what God says about you. Like someone I heard a pastor, his name's Leroy Thompson. I think he's in Louisiana. And he was standing in line at a grocery store one day, and the lady in front of him, and she was talking to the cashier. And the lady said, I tell you, boy, man, money really goes. Money just comes and it just goes. Money just seems to go. And the Lord spoke to him while he heard her. And he said, don't say money goes. Say money comes to me. Don't call in lack. Call in abundance. He started declaring, money comes to me. Money comes to me. Money comes to me. But Pastor Steve, what if I call it and it doesn't come? Then keep on calling. Then keep on calling. When Joel Osteen's mother was diagnosed with cancer back in, I think it was 1980-something, she was diagnosed with cancer and they gave her a matter of months to live. It was stage 4. There was nothing they could do. They gave her a short time to live. She started calling in healing. Do you know how many times Joel says he heard his mother say, I am healed from this cancer. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus is restoring my health. He heard her say that thousands of times. The first couple of years when she said it, it seemed to be just the opposite. He would look at her and think, man, you're not healed. You don't look healed. You don't look well. But when you keep calling in healing and keep calling in freedom and keep calling in abundance, let me tell you, what you're calling in is on the way. It may not have happened yet, but there will be a time where you see what you've been saying. It's almost 40 years later. So it happened in like 1980-something. And Dodie Osteen is in her 80s. I think she's 85. She's totally healthy. Let me tell you, don't be discouraged by what's not changing or how things look. Let it challenge you to call it in even stronger. Are you with me? Because God is faithful to what He promised. And what you're calling in, what God has spoken over you, you can rest assured it is on the way in the name of Jesus. Don't go the next 20 years calling in the negative. Put your faith out there. Call in greatness. Call in new levels. Call in your dreams. Call in your gifts. Call in provision. Call in strength. Call in wisdom. Call in favor. Call it in. Amen. You seen that movie, The Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. God is saying, if you call it, it will come. If you call it, it will come. If you call yourself blessed, blessings will come. If you call yourself healed, healing will come. If you call your children fulfilling their destiny, then their destiny will be fulfilled. Amen? Amen. Let me wrap this up with Numbers chapter 13. Moses sent 12 men to go spy out the promised land. And after 40 days, they came back. And 10 of those 12 spies said to Moses, what an amazing land it was. big, more amazing than they could have ever imagined. The clusters of grapes were so large, it took two people to carry the clusters of grapes. They'd finally made it. They were next door to the land flowing with milk and honey, a land flowing with resources. And as God had already said, He'd already given them the land. They just had to go in and possess it. But these 10 spies, they went on in Numbers 13, the men had gone up with them. They said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. And they said, "The land through which we've gone as spies, it's a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants there, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." And so we were in their sight. They had a grasshopper mentality. They felt weak. But instead of calling themselves strong, they called themselves weak. God said they could do it. God said, "I've given you the land. Go take possession. I'm going to give you the victory." But instead of agreeing with God, and instead of believing what God says, and instead of calling in what God says, they called themselves defeated. And God said to them in Numbers 14, verse 28, "Tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you who is 20 years older will die in this wilderness." They got exactly what they called in, because they said, "Our children will be victims. Our children will die in this place." And they got exactly what they said. You see, God can call you one thing, but if you call yourself something different, you can override what God said. Not because we are so powerful, but because God works where there is faith. God calls you blessed, but if you go around saying, "I'm not blessed, I can't get ahead, I never get any good breaks," then what you're calling in will override what God has promised you. God says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. But if you say, "I'm not that special, I'm not that talented, I'm not as smart as my sister, I'm not very confident," what you're calling in will override what God has spoken over you. Let me tell you, if you're going to become who you were created to be, you've got to get an agreement with God. Don't cancel the amazing plan that God has for your life by calling in the wrong things. Can you say amen? Amen. Like with the Israelites, there are blessings, there are good breaks, there are healings and freedom. God's already promised you. But God didn't say, if you're strong enough, if you know the right people, if you don't have any opposition, none of that is a condition for what God promised. He's going to give you the land. He's going to give you the spouse. He's going to give you the money. He's going to give you the healing. He's going to give you the freedom. He's going to give you the house you've been believing for. It may seem impossible. You can't do it on your own. But thank God, the good news is you are not on your own. Don't make the mistake that the Israelites did and start talking about how it's not going to work out. "Oh, I don't know, Pastor Steve, I think I've reached my limits. I think I've gone as far in my career as I can go. I'm never going to get well. I'm never going to break this addiction." That's calling in defeat. That's calling in limitations. If it's going to happen in your life, you have to call in what God has promised. You have to call in victory. You have to call in healing. You have to call in abundance. Why don't you call in that baby you've been believing for? "Father, you said in your word in Deuteronomy 28, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. You said in Psalm 113, he gives children to the childless wife so she can become a happy mother." Why don't you declare, "Thank you, Lord, for the baby that's got my name on coming my way. Thank you, Lord." Call it in the name of Jesus. That's how you make it into your promised land. These spies, they said, "We felt like grasshoppers in our own sight compared to them." Imagine what God must have thought when they said that. Because God had delivered them out of slavery. God had parted the Red Sea. God had brought water out of a rock. God had rained down food out of heaven. God told them, I've given you the land. Just go take possession of it. I've already given it to you. Yet they were saying, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers. They're stronger than we are. We're never going to be able to. They're going to devour us. They didn't realize they're calling in fear. And before long, they had this grasshopper mentality. No wonder they felt so weak and intimidated, because they'd called it in. You see, you may be facing big obstacles in your life, and you may have dreams that seem impossible, and you could shrink back and live intimidated. But I would encourage you to put your shoulders back and hold your head up high and remember you're a child of the Most High God, and dare to call in what God says about you. Dare to declare that you are who God says you are. Father, I thank you. I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. I thank you. You always cause me to triumph. I thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The obstacle that I'm facing may be big, but I know greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. If God is for me, then what can stand against me? Thank you, Lord. You're fighting my battles. I'm coming into my promised land in the name of Jesus. You know, Moses sent out 12 spies. 10 of them brought a bad report. But there were two others, Joshua and Caleb. They had a different report. Joshua and Caleb, they said this in Numbers 30, verse 30. Caleb reassured the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go up at once and possess it, he said, for we are well able to conquer it. Verse 6, two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, they ripped their clothing. And they said to the people, it's a wonderful country ahead. And the Lord loves us. He will bring us safely into the land. And He will give it to us. It is very fertile. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. For they are but bread for us to eat. The Lord is with us. He's removed His protection from them. Do not be afraid of them. They had a totally different report. And do you know that the only exception, all the spies who said, we can't take the land, all the children of Israel said, we can't, they died in the wilderness. They got what they said. But Joshua and Caleb, 40 years later, they got what they called it. In Joshua chapter 14, a delegation from the tribe of Judah led by Caleb came to Joshua in Gilgal. Now Joshua has taken over from Moses. And they said, remember what the Lord said to Moses about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? Caleb asked Joshua. I was 40 years old at the time, and Moses had sent us from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land of Canaan. And I reported what I felt was the truth. But our brothers who went with us frightened the people and discouraged them from entering the promised land. But since I had followed the Lord my God, Moses told me the section of Canaan you were just in shall belong to you and your descendants forever. Now, as you see, from that time until now, the Lord has kept me alive and well for all these 45 years since crisscrossing the wilderness. And today, I'm 85 years old. We got any 85-year-olds in here today? I'm talking to you today. If you're 85, today I'm 85 years old. I'm just as strong now as I was when Moses sent us on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So I'm asking you to give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that we as spies, we found the Anakim living there in great walled cities. But if the Lord is with me, I'll drive them out of the land. Amen. So Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron as a permanent inheritance because he followed the Lord God of Israel. It took 40 years, man, but Caleb got what he called in. Amen. And what's amazing and interesting to me is that Joshua and Caleb were the only ones out of 2 million people who made it into the promised land. All the rest of them died in the desert. It's not a coincidence, because Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who called in victory. Amen. Here's the question. Are there promised lands that you're not possessing? Are there promises that you're not receiving? because you're calling in defeat instead of calling in victory. Talking about how it's never going to work out and what you don't have. It's time to change what you're calling in, because remember, you're going to eat the fruit of your words, man. Isaiah 57 says, I create the fruit of the lips. Your words will either deliver you or your words will ensnare you. The scripture says in Proverbs 12:6, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. And Proverbs 6:2, you're trapped by your own words. Your words can either trap you or your words can deliver you. I'm asking you today, be a Joshua. I'm asking you today, be a Caleb. Call in what God says about you. Be like Abraham. Let me help you get started today. Let's call some things in. Say, I call in healing. I call in protection. I call in wholeness. I call in restoration. I call in freedom. I call in deliverance. I call in strength. I call in energy. I call in vitality. My youth is being renewed. I call in confidence. I call in courage. I call in ability. I call in blessings. I call in favor. I call in promotion. I call in abundance. I call in that business I'm believing for. I call in that property I need. The house I'm dreaming about. I call in a godly spouse. Someone awesome. I call in the baby I was told I can't have. Come on, man. I call in children that are off course. I call in a fresh anointing. I call in a fresh vision for my life. Say, I believe. I declare, like Joshua and Caleb, I'm about to enter in my promised land. I'm getting ready. What I'm calling in, I know it's on the way. In the name of Jesus, will you call those things in? Will you call in the things that God has put in your heart, the promises of God? Will you call those things in instead of talking about the way things are? Call in the way you want it to be in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, if I had been saying, there's no way I'll ever be able to live on the water, there's no way I could afford that, I wouldn't be on the water today. I'd be looking for a rental somewhere. We just called it in. God supernaturally did it. Call it in. Do you receive this today? Yes. Amen. Come bow your heads for a moment. Father, I thank you for every person here today. I thank you your word has gone into their heart. I thank you that your word, Father, that doesn't return void, that your word produces fruit in their life. Thank you, Lord, we're not just hearers of your word. We are doers of your word. In the name, say, I'm a doer of the word. Keep your head bowed for a moment. Keep your eyes closed. I want to pray. If there's anyone here this morning, listen to me. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You don't have any doubt about that. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God, but I'm not absolutely sure. I'm not absolutely certain. Let me tell you the good news. You can be sure. You can be certain. You can walk out of here today, and you can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake and every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you today. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Pray for me, because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, won't you right now just lift your hand up, just raise your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift up your hand. Thank you. I see hands being raised. Thank you. I want everyone who raised your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you believe, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Everybody. Especially if you lifted your hand. But everyone, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth in my place, to die in my place, to take my sin, my punishment. Lord, I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. And I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus. I surrender my life to you. And say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. God, you are my Father. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. The Bible says that all of heaven, the angels rejoice when one person gives their life to Christ. Let me tell you, there's rejoicing going on in heaven right now because of people that receive Jesus in their life. And I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come to church today, because let me tell you, if you didn't invite them, they wouldn't have received the Lord. So thank you for inviting them. And if you raised your hand when we close the service in a couple of minutes from now, please remain seated. We have a gift we want to give you before you go home. So just remain where you are. One of our volunteers will come over to you, give you a gift before you leave. God bless you. Did we see you? Where are we at? Tom, you got them, right? All righty.
Good preaching. We're going to receive the church offering, but we're going to watch just a quick video afterwards. So don't slip out right now. That was good word. Amen. Let me tell you, that'll change your life. I'll tell you one other thing that Pastor Steve always says, and I'm not talking about when he's at church. I'm talking about at home. It doesn't matter when things go wrong and things don't work out. He always says, everything always works out to my good. God always makes everything work out for my good. Let me tell you, that's not just having a good attitude. That's speaking words of faith. And all things work out for good. Amen. But now's the time in the service where we get the opportunity to tithe and to give to the Lord. And this principle, so prepare yourself. There's envelopes in the seats. There's many people that give online. We thank you for that. People that give recurring giving, that's very helpful to a church. So thank you for doing that. But I want to just remind you of one scripture, because, Pastor Steve's talking about calling it in. And there are many promises concerning financial blessing. But if you don't have the faith that God wants to do something for you, or that God can do something for you, you're never going to say it, right? So I just want to, I like the fact that he started out talking about what God said to Abraham. I'm going to read you one verse from Genesis 17. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, and this is this translation says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Do you know that when God, he said, I'm the Almighty God. We, in English, we are limited as to how we see God. We just like, he's like the big God. But there was, in Hebrew, he was very specific. And at different places in the Bible, different Hebrew words are used. And in this place, he said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai. And that specifically means, he's telling him a part of his nature. This is who I am. Almighty God, the Hebrew word El Shaddai, it literally means the all-breasty one. He's like, I am the all-sufficient one. I am the God of plenty. Just let that sink in. He's the God of plenty. We live on the side of plenty. And so don't be, when you're calling things in and say, that's too big. Nothing's too big for God. Nothing's going to bankrupt him. Nothing's going to break the budget, right? And so it talks about someone who, like as a mother supplies nourishment for a child. That's who God is to us. God is El Shaddai. He's a God who's more than enough. So say God is more than enough. God has more than enough. God has more than I need. And you know that he's willing. He's willing. He's willing. So call in those blessings over your life. But he says you'll remember the Lord your God. And one of the ways we remember is by honoring him with our tithe, by honoring him with our offering. So, Father, right now we come before you. We thank you for your blessing upon our lives. And as we honor you with the first fruits of our increase, as we honor you with our offerings, Father God, we do it in worship. And we thank you for your blessings on our life. We thank you for new opportunities tomorrow, for new contracts, for new doors opened, for beyond our wildest dreams. We thank you that you're the God of plenty. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead, ushers. Thank you for that. And we're going to watch the video, right, Pastor Steve?
Merry Christmas. We are Steve and Jill Barry. We're the pastors of Ascend Church in Jupiter, Florida. And we want to tell you about some fun and exciting events that we have going on at Ascend Church during this Christmas season.
Yes, every Sunday throughout December, we are going to have our Christmas photo op set up in our lobby. And this is a great way for you to come and take some amazing family Christmas photos.
On Sunday, December the 12th at 10 a.m., we have our live nativity scene with the petting zoo. This is always a big hit with the kids because they get to pet the animals. And we're going to have barnyard animals, and we're going to have sheep and donkey and cows and the nativity scene. And it's always a lot of fun.
Right. And then on Sunday, December 19th, directly after our church service, which is at 10 a.m., we have our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. And this is a time where we all bring a dish from our culture. All of us get to taste everything. And it's just going to be a fun food fest.
Yes.
Also on December 19th, our children's church is going to be having their Happy Birthday Jesus Christmas party. And every child is going to get a gift.
Our Christmas Eve service is on Friday, December 24th, from 7 till 8 p.m. Our musicians and singers will be performing some of your favorite Christmas carols, and I have an inspiring Christmas message about the meaning of Christmas.
So we hope to see you at any or all of our Christmas events. Please bring your family and friends. You know, our church is so friendly, and our people are so welcoming that your kids are going to have so much fun at Children's Church. We hope to see you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, and we hope to see you at Ascend Church this Christmas season.
Amen. So today we have the live nativity scene. As you leave today, you'll see the kids from Children's Church. They're all dressed up, and we've got the petting zoo. And I encourage you to, you know, hang out a bit and say hi to someone you don't know and fellowship a little bit before you leave today. And then next Sunday, we're doing our Around the World Christmas potluck lunch. I'm asking everyone, please bring a dish from your culture. Yesterday we were at Miguel and Natalie's. They do their, he's from Puerto Rico, and they do, every year they do, they roasted pig roast. And they had a whole lot of people over there from the church, and you know, that's part of their culture, something that they do. So maybe your culture has something a little different. Bring that food, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship. And the kids are having the Happy Jesus birthday party next Sunday. Every kid's going to get a gift. I want to encourage you to take this invitation that's on your seat, this little black card, and use it to invite someone to come to church. You know, I know that over December, people seem to be real busy, but let's never forget the reason for the season. Let's never forget what Christmas is all about. Let's make sure that we're all at the Christmas Eve service to come and worship the Lord and thank Him for coming to the earth. Christmas Eve service. God bless you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time.